good evening, and just to let you know that you're not the only one still on the planet. We're checking in with you here at Station WRD, live from the headquarters of Liberating Ministries for Christ International. Praise God, we're ready for a wonderful time this evening. I believe we're being joined by Russ Chandler, high top of the Rocky Mountains. If you're there, Uncle Russ, say hey to everybody.
Yeah, we're here somewhere. We don't know exactly where, but we're lost in the Rockies.
So we got some good things to discuss with you tonight. I want to get Russ turned loose a little bit later on a serious truth of Bible basics. But before we do any of this other things, let me just have a word of prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to lead us in what we're doing. Almighty God, our Father, Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, we come to you tonight and ask that you use this time for your glory and your honor. And Lord, let us not be so consumed with the plans of the enemy and the things of the enemy that we forget who even created the enemy. And thank you that we have a hope, a lively hope, that we've been begotten into. And our hope is in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ descend from the heavens with a band of angels and the faithful in Christ Jesus to establish your kingdom in this world. Lord, we stand up tonight in total defiance against the enemy and his wicked ways. And we, as workmen of the word, studying to show ourselves approved unto you, rightly dividing this word of truth, are pressing into these deeper esoteric matters. Help us, Lord, to be equipped to not be taken in by the strong delusion at the end of the age. And help me, Lord, in my ministry to help your people to embrace some of these things, and that we all be like the Bereans, according to Acts 17:11, and search the Scriptures daily whether these things are so. I thank you for this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Got an amen from the rooster?
Amen.
And, excuse me a second. If you see the title on the webcast tonight, I've given this thing a title called Washington, D.C. and the New World Order. Sounds moderately exciting, doesn't it? But if I was going to give this a subtitle, I'd like to call it Tracing the Obelisk. And this will tie us back into some of the matters that we've been searching in the heavens. And what I want to do tonight is to give you all probably six or eight different reasons to conclude that, in fact, Washington, D.C. was constructed to be the headquarters of, obviously, of the United States, but birth for the purposes of bringing to power the New World Order. And there's a lot of information that I've got that I'm going to share with you tonight, that if you'll go to the link that's on the website, you'll have some pictorials to go with this. But before I get into this too deeply, I want to bring something up and ask Russ to just talk right here before we begin. Russ, you and I were having a conversation about biblical interpretation, and you told me what you had realized about interpreting the Scriptures. Would you just jump in here and teach for a little bit?
Sure. We're supposed to rightly divide the Word, and there are some terms that they use in theological seminaries, that come to light. One of them is hermeneutics, and hermeneutics is simply the scientific study of the Scriptures to come to an interpretation. And a lot of times in hermeneutics, they look at the Scriptures from the historical perspective, what was going on at the time. They look at it from a word faith perspective, where they go through and prove that you're supposed to believe for all these riches and things. They look at it from a manifest sons of God type of background, and then they try to find all the verses to substantiate that. But true hermeneutics has to be Christological. In other words, Christ is the purpose for everything. I mean, if you read in how Christ, our wisdom, was with the Lord from the beginning, and the whole reason God set this whole thing up is so that Christ could have the preeminence, it says in Colossians. And it also, everything is about Christ. So when we go to the Word of God and we start searching the Word of God, we start seeing Christ everywhere if we have that in mind as far as the framework that God has set up. Christ is increasing, and we should be decreasing. And everything is going to come to the point where every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So we have the high and holy privilege now to study and to know the Word of God and have peace in our hearts, knowing that this plan that God laid out before the foundations of the world is in play, and that regardless of what we're doing right now, He is sovereign, and He's still going to do what He has planned to do. And Christ is all in all in everything, and when we're studying the Word, we'll start seeing that if we come to it from that perspective.
Well, you know, when you were sharing with me that the Christological hermeneutic is a simple way of saying, let's see Jesus Christ in every page of the Bible, right?
Amen. I mean, that's it. That's the simplicity of it.
But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I want what we're doing here to be rooted in practicality and in biblical essence as well. As I was reading the book of Revelation this morning in chapters 17, 18, and 19, I thought about what you'd share with me, Russ, on this thing about seeing Christ in every page of the Bible. And I think that there's a perspective that we need to re-embrace or understand, and that is that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was the one who had prevailed to open the seals that released and unleashes God's beginning wrath on the world in the Great Tribulation. And what we're seeing, we're going to look at here tonight, relative even to Washington, D.C. and the New World Order, is prophetic fulfillment that God Almighty, before He started this thing out, walked through it to see what would happen. And He sent Jesus Christ into the world to annihilate Lucifer and his final attempt to rule over the world. It's not going to happen because Jesus Christ is going to return to set things aright. But in the Christological hermeneutics of what we're talking about tonight, let's not forget that though we're going to be looking at what Lucifer has done, he is just playing right into the hands of the omniscient Almighty Yahweh, who has sent Jesus of Nazareth to foil his plans. So let's not get so involved in looking at esoteric matters that we forget that the greatest mystery, the greatest esoteric matter and secret that's ever been is the great mystery that God hid in Himself before the foundations of the world, that the church, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, that the church might be the ones to show principalities and powers in heavenly places the variegated wisdom of God, because He gave us authority over them. So let us never be awed or too overly overtaken by the power of what the enemy has done in the world. Just think about the fact that our God is the one that knew He would do it, wrote a book that said He would do it, so you got to know we got the winning cards in the end. Okay? So, let me jump in here. I want to talk to you a little bit about Washington, D.C. and the New World Order. And if you feel like you're sipping through a fire hose on this, we'll have these recordings archived pretty quick, even after the session's over tonight, so that you can go back and listen to them. If you've been with me in these past Tuesday evenings of our webcast, I've been dealing in some pretty interesting matters and very deep subject matters that the average Christian doesn't go to. And I began questing in this, wanting to find or see the truths that were in the heavens and in the Word of God that's written in the heavens that would fasten our belief in Jesus Christ being the HaMashiach, the one and only, without question, the BMOC, the big man on campus, since you college guys are listening to me. But, and in finding this, or in searching for this, we found our way in studying the Word of God in the heavens. Now, just remember where I'm going with this is I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., and if I told you I was going to give a subtitle to this, it would be called Tracing the Obelisks. And, and trying to understand this whole ordeal of spiritual warfare and the web of deception that has gone over the world, I stumbled across some research that had talked about that there was a number of obelisks that was exported from Egypt to different places around the world. Well, having a nose for being a Bible detective, I wanted to know exactly what and where these obelisks were placed for what reasons. And what I found was that these obelisks had been exported out of Egypt and had been put in the kingdoms of the world that the Bible talks about that the beast ruled over. So they were exported to Rome. They were exported to Persia. They were exported to London. They were exported to Paris. And they were exported to the United States. And these were kingdoms, not that all of these, you know, London and Paris or England and France were of the seven kingdoms that the mystery Babylon rides on. But these obelisks were put in very strategic places for world dominance. And I became interested in these obelisks and started doing some research. And Uncle Russ, you were involved in doing this research with me, and you told me who made the first obelisk. Give you a hint here. She was she lived in Babylon, and she was the wife of Nimrod. So who was that rooster?
Her name was Semiramis.
Yeah, why did she make that obelisk?
Well, Shem, one of Noah's sons, came and was appalled because of Yahweh's displeasure, what Nimrod had done, and Shem took Nimrod and cut him up in pieces and sent him to all parts of the kingdoms, or all over the known world at the time. After he did that, Semiramis went out and had all those parts collected. They found everything but one part. It happened to be his penis. So she then had an obelisk erected in honor of that. So you can take it from there.
It was a 130-foot obelisk. It was the first one that was ever erected, pun intended, and that's exactly what obelisks are. Is they're erected, and the name is properly supplied because it's showing the penis, and it's all phallic. And when you begin tracing the obelisk, I'm going to tell you, when it ends up in Washington, D.C., there is a huge revelation involved in this. The practice of Mystery Babylon begins with this. This is the mother of all religions, the mother of all harlots. And this Mystery Babylon passed through the different world kingdoms as it rode through generations of vipers, sons of Belial, and wicked people that infiltrated all the world kingdoms and, in fact, made the world kingdoms that they were. But these obelisks were picked up in Egypt whenever the Babylon mystery religion moved to Egypt. And the story that Russ was talking about Nimrod, Semiramis, and then Tammuz, who was supposedly the reincarnation of Nimrod, got transferred to Osiris, Isis, and Horus in Egypt. And Horus was the one that got chopped up, and his body parts sent around the world. And they got recollected, just like the mythological ordeal with Semiramis and Babylon was, but the one part that they couldn't find was the reproductive organ. And so they began erecting obelisks as phallic symbols around the world in announcing the presence of none other than the Queen of Heaven. And the Queen of Heaven initially and originally was Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. And this Queen of Heaven worship, you can pick up Yahweh's extreme displeasure in it, and really it's called Queen of Heaven. I believe it's in Jeremiah chapter 7, where the women were baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven and the elders in the gate were bowing toward the sun. And that's what you really need to focus on relative to the Queen of Heaven and sun worship, and obelisks are all the above. So, to follow the story of the obelisk, they had 20 of them created in Egypt and then began exporting them. And they exported them out of Egypt to the major world empires. So they exported one to Rome in the first century, and they put it at the Lateran Basilica, which was the home of the popes for 1,000 years. It's interesting that another obelisk was taken out of Egypt and put at St. Peter's Basilica, which is adorned with all sorts of different kind of things, but the obelisk has certainly nothing to do with Christianity. And this, in fact, shows that when the obelisk is in front of St. Peter's Basilica, this is the very key truth here, that mystery Babylon, as it was transposed into Roman Catholicism, actually became the religion of Christianity. And it's a sick, sick thing the way it has been interwoven and hidden in these things. But there were obelisks exported out of Egypt to Paris, France, whenever Napoleon's kingdom was the world conqueror. It was exported and put in London when the Brits were the world rulers, and then there was one exported out of Egypt and put in Central Park in 1881, thanks to the SOB, the Vanderbilts, and the rich people that did this. But of any and all things about the obelisk, I think that's very interesting, and that is that the largest obelisk in the world is in Washington, D.C. And so in following this obelisk, what we find out that the obelisk is, first of all, the word obelisk in its etymology of words means Baal's, B-A-A-L, apostrophe S, Baal's shaft, or Baal's reproductive organ. And so that is what obelisk means in its derivation and etymology of words. And you can see it certainly represents that. But it was in Baal worship, it was sex worship, and in the time of Elijah, and when you read about the confrontation between the Baal worship with Jezebel and Ahab and the Baal worship that went through that, this was all initiated by Jeroboam, who was the first lineage of the kings of Israel, when he erected a golden calf and a shrine at Bethel, and then the other one in Ashdod, which is the pit of hell of Gaza, which we're still warring over. But the telltale indication of Baalism was that they would go to the hills and they would carve out of the trunk of a tree an obelisk. And so it says whenever they went out to worship on the groves, or when the groves were destroyed like Jehu did, and in actuality, what they were doing is they were going out, chopping down and burning these trees that they had shaped in the fashion of an obelisk, or in sometimes, you know, in the groves, as it's used in groves, they would actually round them off to look like the head of a penis. And this was all the sex worship that goes on in Baalism. And, you know, it's a real evangelical tool, and they used it to seduce and bring the whole nation of Israel into that belief system. And of course that is what Elijah went to battle against whenever on Mount Carmel, whenever he slew all the prophets of Baal. But to continue this with Washington, D.C. and the capital of the United States of America and the positioning of the obelisk, let me bring this from one more point of view here. I was mentioning the other night at one of our webcasts the subject of theurgy. And that's T-H-E-U-R-G-Y. And theurgy is the science of, or the study of, the influence of evil spirit powers, demoniac powers, or principalities and powers influence on people and the communications that they have with them. It's interesting, when I saw the obelisk in Central Park, the hieroglyphics that was on written on the sides of them, hieroglyphics were picture languages that communicated with angels. This is what this whole thing is about, is principality and power worship and empowering Lucifer through the positioning of these obelisks through the generations of vipers. But in the subject of theurgy, and theurgy, what they do in the mystics and the generations of vipers, the occultists, the astrologers that really know what they're doing, they have this practice in theurgy called as above, so below. And so on the spring equinox, they freeze the heavens over the earth, at that particular time, and they affixed the prime meridian at Greenwich, England, on the star Sirius, and then the three stars in the belt of Orion at the three pyramids in Giza. And then from there, they draw, they put obelisks in places around the world where other major stars are. For example, they moved down the prime meridian and put one star on either side of the prime meridian for Castor and Pollux and Gemini. Well, when you move all the way around the heavens, 77 degrees away from the prime meridian on the land, draws a line that runs directly down the east coast of the United States. And that particular position in the heavens is the position of Virgo. And Virgo is the place where you begin reading the heavens, between Leo and Virgo, as the Sphinx shows that the body of the lion and the face of the woman. But Virgo in the positions of the heavens always shows the incarnation of God. And in this particular sense, in America, it's not where it's located in the east coast of America or the United States particularly. This is not dealing with Virgo, the incarnation of Yahweh, but this is dealing with Virgo, the incarnation of the Antichrist and the second coming the coming of the one in this particular arena in the world that would signify the New World Order and coming of the Antichrist. So I didn't really get to this information by knowing that the Masons had designed Washington, D.C. I knew that the Masons had designed Washington, D.C., but I never understood why they designed it the way they did until I began studying theurgy. All of this, by the way, God knew would happen. But this just goes to show you how slimy Lucifer is. This is how he has to occultically, in hidden ways, get his worship, by hiding himself under occultic signs. And that's exactly what the Freemasons did in Washington, D.C., and in effect, really, even you'll see this when we get to looking at the design of the whole city. You'll see that the obelisk here in the middle of the Mall of Washington, D.C. is very focal to the understanding of Luciferianism, the very root and core of the Freemasons' identity in the United States. And the Freemasons' identity in the United States and their purpose is shown by the figurine on top of the Capitol building, which is supposedly called Lady Freedom, but it is in fact none other than a replica of Semiramis or Isis as the Queen of the Heavens. So, sort of, I understand it's sort of like taking a sip through a fire hose here, but, you know, Washington, D.C. lies on the 77th degree west of the prime meridian and 38.5 degrees north of the equator. And as I was looking at this, I began wondering and asked myself a question. I said, well, why did... we had a perfectly good capital in Philadelphia, and actually Philadelphia is not that far from Washington, D.C. Why did we go build a capital in Washington, D.C. when we could have had in Philadelphia? Better still, why didn't we put it in Wichita, Kansas, which would have been geographically in the center of the country? Why did they put it where they put it? Well, the reason that they put it where they did is they put it on the 77th meridian, and on the 38.5 degrees north of the equator. And if you add 38.5 and 38.5, it again comes up with 77. And so this was the exact 10-mile square plot of land that they laid out Washington, D.C., and was in the middle of the swamp. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, why didn't they move 20 miles west and located in the beautiful rolling hills of Virginia? But they built our nation's capital in the middle of the swamp. And it's the esoteric meanings behind of all of this is just more and more ways of us to see and to know that you know, I guess what the devil's meant for harm, God has meant for good. And in his founding of and using the United States as being the one world leader, that in fact... Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened. It was probably Russ Chandler that was messing with me out there, but Russ is no longer on the line with us. I just had to reconnect back with you here. But I was talking to you about this, the obelisk in Washington, D.C., and actually, no, I was talking to you about the location in the coordinates of Washington, D.C. It was put where it was by the Freemasons, and in 1783, the Continental Congress of the United States met together and determined what kind of architecture and where it was going to be, and it was forced through basically by George Washington and by Thomas Jefferson. And you can see in the layout of Washington D.C. that both George Washington and Thomas Jefferson have very focal positions in the monuments that were named after them, and they imported a Masonic architect, Lafont, from France, who had been studying Masonic literature and architecture. And when you come to find out that he laid out Washington, D.C. in the form of a Baphomet, which is the star, the inverted, perverted star that you can see on this attachment I've given to you, and also according to the compass and the square, which runs from the bottom of the Baphomet to the Capitol building and then to the Jefferson Memorial. And the square runs opposite that of the Capitol building. But it's all dealing with the obelisk, which is in the middle of the city. It's very interesting, the understanding of worship here, of Luciferian symbols and of worship. If you look at the Baphomet, the picture of the goat, and each one, if you're looking at this Masonic architectural layout that I had on the link here, at the top of each of these triangles in the Baphomet, you'll see circles, or like roundabouts, but actually they're the big eye over the top of each one of these pyramids or each one of these circles. But the very bottom one, if you'll see where the bottom of it lies, it's right on top of the White House. And the bottom part of the Baphomet is always the mind of Satan, or the seat of Satan, or where Satan dwells. And it was the Masonic design that whoever would live in the White House would be the Masonic representative, and in fact the Luciferian representative that lived in that house. It's very interesting, if you'll follow the White House due south, you'll see the Washington Monument or the obelisk. But it is not directly offset in a straight line from the middle of the White House. Actually, it's offset 33 degrees, and the obelisk lines up perfectly with the Masonic Temple, which is 13 blocks north of the White House, laid out in the number 13 for rebellion against God. And it is the Masonic Temple is in fact the focal point of Washington, D.C. And it appears that from the beginning and founding of our nation, and look, you know, saying these things really hurts me. I mean, every time I discover more and more of the depth of the secrecy, I realize more and more how deeply deceived I was, and that so many things that I thought was good to the great to the best has in fact been couched in secrecy and lies, and it's really, really embarrassing when you begin to realize that the United States of America was actually birthed by the Freemasons and founded by the Freemasons as the dedicated leader of the coming of the New World Order. And, of course, we have seen this thing emerge all the way from the United States being favored to be victorious in World War One and World Wars Two, then to be positioned as the elite world power, to see communism crumble, and to see the United States be, you know, again the head cheese, the big dog, and you know, there's a lumined, if you get my ideas, there's a lumined philosophy that shows that the purpose of the Illuminati and the generations of vipers was to bring the world into a global empire, and the way they were going to do this was by causing wars, creating chaos, and killing off the leaders of countries, and then bringing their bloodlines into power in the other countries. And they pretty well established this through the Roman Catholics, and then the also through the Merovingian bloodline, which is the common thread of the satanic Illuminati bloodlines that runs through Europe and has also, quote, bled over into the presidents of the United States. You know, I really think that we're late enough in the game right now that we need to quit playing games and pulling punches. And if I'm being listened to by people that listen to my phone calls for me saying the word Illuminati, well, if you're listening to my phone call now, let me tell you something. You will see the real Illuminati when Jesus Christ returns from heaven and consumes with the brightness of his coming the son of perdition, who opposes all and calls himself God and exalts himself above all so that he's called as God. You'll see illumination whenever that happens. But until then, we see what kind of Illuminati insignias run. They do everything secretly. They don't do anything out in the open. As it says in the book of Job, I would that my enemy had written a book. Well, the devil's never going to write a book because he changes the rules in the middle of the game. But guess what? I know who's got his number, and his name is Yeshua, HaMashiach, coming back in the name and in the power of the only true Creator, Yahweh, to set things in order. You know, we're going to see a lot of things unfold at the end. We're going to see a new world order, a one world order, that is written in scripture-wise on our dollar bill, our federal. This is another way of looking at and realizing that the New World Order is in fact using the United States of America as their launching pad to bring this kingdom, this final kingdom, as I believe, into power. But on the $1 bill, I mean, you got the pyramid with the one eye on it. I mean, is that Christian? Hello? No, on the other side you see the Great Seal, and actually the Great Seal of the United States, and on the seal that was made on the back side of it was the pyramid with the eye on it, and it wasn't until Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Mr. 32nd Degree Mason, that had it printed on the back of the dollar bill so that we can now in fact and officially glorify the Federal Reserve and the Freemasons and the eye over the pyramid of the one world government to be the owner of our currency and, in effect, the financing of our nation. So all this is borne out in the occultic architectural symbols that is in Washington, D.C. And listen, it's not only there, but you ought to see it in Jerusalem. And they have done this in London, and they've done it all over the world and in France. And the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty was an original replica of the Queen of Heaven. And this is what this obelisk in the middle of the Washington Mall is all about, is the worship of Babylon mystery religion. The mystery religion, mother of all harlots. It's whenever I saw the present president of the United States inaugurated, and Russ talked about that in one of our earlier sessions, that they were using auguring or divining as a means, was the derivation of that word. But I just couldn't help but think about those individuals that were under the shadow and under the influence of this obelisk. But the obelisk is only part of the story. The greater story is what sits on top of the Capitol building. What sits on top of the Capitol building is a figurine, and you can Google and see this, but what it is it's Semiramis, and she's the Queen of Heavens. And this traces everything back to Mystery Babylon and to the recovering of Nimrod's missing penis, which is supposedly represented by the Washington Monument in the middle of the mall. And you can actually, this is a very interesting play on words here. Occultists and mystics operate two sciences in trying to put the world under the influence of principalities and powers. And this is another tenet of theurgy. And one of them is called toponymy, and that deals with the topos, or the exact location of where places are on the earth, like Washington, D.C. being put at 77 degrees west and 38.5 degrees north, so that the sum of those would be 77, which is the number of rebellion against the true God. And other places of toponymy, like the pyramids at Giza or the Prime Meridian or other places where obelisks were put, like at the Basilica of the Lantern Obelisk in the Holy Roman Empire. But these are different topographical places where things are located according to toponymy. Onomatonymy is where things are named according to situations that will give occultic power over a place. And actually, the word America, and a lot of this research, by the way, goes back to I got from David Flynn in his book on Cydonia, The Secret Chronicles of Mars. But, you know, I've also worked from several sources in a lot of these things. But, you know, dealing with the onomatonymy of America, America is a French derivation of America, which is followers of the mother. And it's very interesting that when you finally get back to the reality of what's really happening here is that we have the Queen of Heavens sitting on top of the Capitol building and an obelisk as a penis erected to the honor of Nimrod and other mythological characters sitting right in the middle of our nation's capital. There's another play on words as far as onomatonymy on Capitol Hill. Actually, it's not a hill there, is there? No, it's built in the middle of the swamp. Why is it called Hill? It's named after Capitoline Triad in Rome. And the Capitoline Triad is on one of the seven hills in Rome, and it's called Capitoline. And so in onomatonymy, the transference is made to Capitol Hill, and the architecture on top of Capitoline Triad in Rome is the exact dome and shape of the Capitol building in the United States. And in fact, the replica or the figurine that's on top of the Capitol building in the United States is closely resembles the Queen of Heaven that is on top of the Capitol building in Rome. Actually, this statue that's on top of the Capitol building bears a little bit of research into it. I have a, if I can find it here, I have a statement that Abraham Lincoln made about the figurine on top of Capitol Hill. And you won't believe this. This will knock you down when you realize what happened in the dedication of this statue on top of Capitol Hill. Actually, this statue came from Pope Pius IX in Rome, who wanted Babylon mystery religion to rule over the United States the same as it had ruled over Rome, the same as it had ruled over France, the same as it had ruled over London, and the other location of these obelisks. Pope Pius IX had made an arrangement with Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, but previous to that, his position, the Pope figured that the South would win the war and that Jefferson Davis would be the one that would raise this statue over the Capitol building. Now, I'm reading to you from an appendix out of a book, quotes about and from President Abraham Lincoln. I want you to hear what Abraham Lincoln said about the Capitol building. This is one of the reasons, too, why they killed it. But it says here, the Capitol building on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. is a replica of the Capitoline Triad in Rome, especially a basilica for Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva. That is the Roman Catholic Trinity, or the Roman Trinity. Washington, D.C. could be called the New Rome, and it's full of idolatry. Now, this is not something that I said. This is something that Abraham Lincoln said. Remember that the creator of heaven and earth is a jealous God, and although long-suffering, will punish idolaters. He is the same God who sent ancient Judah into Babylonian captivity for worshiping the Queen of Heaven, that is Isis or Juno. And that's a quote from Abraham Lincoln about what sits on top of our Capitol building, that it is a statue dedicated to Isis, Semiramis, or Juno, all of the figurines of the Queen of Heaven. You know, the Queen of Heaven is an interesting study in and of itself, and don't know that I want to go into a big long spiel here, but this goes all the way back to Nimrod. And Nimrod was I'm sort of banking on this, and we'll see if I'm right about this, but I'm sort of betting that the Tower of Babel was an obelisk. And if it wasn't, regardless, one way or the other, it's very wicked and very evil. But this all goes back to Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots, and all of this began with this worship of the Queen of Heaven. And the triad, the triunity of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, this continually was carried out throughout all the world, in India, the nation of India, with Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, and then and later on in Greece with Zeus and Athena and Apollo, and in Rome with Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva, and so much for my memory of names and mythology, but this is the same thing that we've got going on in our nation's capital. So in onomatonomy, back to this thing in onomatonomy, where things are named according to theurgic principles and practices to put those places under the influence of evil spirits, our nation's capital was put directly between the two states of Virginia and Maryland. And these are indicative or indicators of the positioning of the Queen of Heaven in Maryland and also in Virginia. Actually, Annapolis of Anna was another indication of Queen of Heaven worship as far as Annapolis, Maryland, not far off. I'm not even going to go into the description tonight of the location of the Pentagon. I started to say pentagram, but there's no difference. It's a five-pointed star that's cloaked, and even we've accepted the five-pointed star as being the insignia of the United States as being a symbol of freedom and liberty. And in actuality, I think most of us knows what the pentagram is all about. So when we come full-faced to understand what we're dealing with and the subject of our nation's capital, as a researcher, I tried to hide my eyes and deny the realities of the things that I'm looking at. But I mean, you know, if you show me, you know, and I think I can honestly really show from evidence that Washington D.C. was designed by the Freemasons to be the headquarters of the New World Order, I believe I can show that to people in no less than probably 15 different ways. And you know, when you begin seeing it in that many different ways, and there's no counter example to disprove it, you begin to form a conclusion and a deduction. And the deduction that I'm coming up with from this is that the United States has in fact been used and was taken over by the Freemasons, you know, and used to be the ship that would bring the New World Order to power. So what does this say to us now that we're living in the end times? Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot of the interpretation of this. I have suspect that because that the New World Order's headquarters is in the United Nations building in New York, I got a feeling that the United States of America is going to be decimated, either economically or militarily, and out of the rubble, the one world government will emerge. It could be the collapse of the United States dollar, which is backing all the a lot of the major currencies around the world, and the remonetization of a world currency. Perhaps the son of perdition may oversee that, and the leader of the New World Order. But in all of our studies, going all the way back to the beginning when I taught you on the planet Rahab, let me give you a couple of dots to connect. Lucifer's desire has always been global conquest. Actually, it was a celestial conquest of our solar system. And he tried it, and he did it, and for this reason, God blew up his planet, Rahab. But then he defected and came to Earth and created the mayhem along with the other fallen angels that did. But these fallen angels have impregnated women and have created the satanic bloodlines that are ruling the world. This is how you connect all the dots and put it all together. Mystery Babylon has been carried on by the unknown bloodline of angels that has controlled the world. They've manipulated the world through their secrets. They've taken advantage of them by studying war, by implementing war, by killing off the competition. Who was it? Nathan Rothschild, in his book on When Blood Runs in the Streets, he's the one that said competition is a sin. And these blood-sucking warmongers have created the wars around the world. They've killed off the leaders that they didn't want in power. They have replaced them with their own bloodlines, and they have set up a one-world government that is about ready to come to power in the world. And really, the collapse of the U.S. dollar may be the fall of Babylon. And if, in fact, that is the fall of Babylon that we read about in Revelation 17 and 18, then we would find the Federal Reserve and the United States government trying to prop up Babylon with their bailouts. Listen, let me give you a little bit of insight here. Since the United States went off the gold standard, the Federal Reserve has continued to dump currency into the money pool. Every time they put more in it, they weaken the existence of that which is there. 80% of the dollars that have ever been injected into the United States currency has been 80% of it since 1920, say, or whenever the Fed took over in 1913, or whenever they got total control of it. 80% of all the money that's ever been injected into the United States currency has been injected within the past 3 months. And we are headed for serious hyperinflation. So, what does this do? Well, this just brings us back closer to the return of Jesus Christ and the establishing of God's kingdom, the true God's kingdom here on the earth. Not utopianism through humanitarianism, but peace through superior firepower of a righteous God and a righteous king that will rule from Jerusalem and not from America. But anyway, this is not from New York City. But if, in fact, we're looking at the end of these things, it sure is amazing that we're living in the end times where knowledge surely has increased. And because of the Internet, I've been able to trace the obelisk. There's a footprint that's left by these geeks, by these creeps, and by these people that do this. But trust me, there are bloodlines of individuals that are running deep in this world. 34 of our 44 presidents have been related by blood, we know, and we may have another one in the White House now that is. We don't know because we can't find his real birth certificate. But anyway, a lot of secrets involved in here, and isn't it interesting that Lucifer derives his perverted worship by hiding symbols that the average person doesn't know? But you rest assured of this. When you pay homage to the obelisk, and incidentally, right out the president's Oval Office window, I'm told, is you can see that the obelisk. Well, whether you can or whether you can't, the shadow of it is all over Washington, D.C., and that obelisk is representative of the penis that the Queen of Heaven is paying homage to on top of the Capitol building. And, of course, Statue of Liberty is the same thing. And
as far as the Queen of Heaven. But there is a huge monument to Lucifer in 77 degrees west and 38.5 degrees north in the continent of the United States. And it's emboldened in Masonic architecture, and the messages in it are very clear that the obelisk is not even centered at the White House, but the obelisk is centered at the national headquarters of Freemasonry, which is in Washington, D.C. It just goes on and on and on. There are powers that are working behind the scenes. Individuals ask me if I'm a conspiracy theorist. I tell them no, I'm a conspiracy realist, that I don't need theories when I've got facts and proof. What they need is they need to show me why it isn't. But one way or the other, I'm excited about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I enjoy looking into the deeper esoteric matters, but it's really in understanding Satan and how he operates. You know, let me take just a couple minutes here and share a couple things with you. I attended a seminar this past week by a good friend of mine that was teaching. His name is Daniel Daves, Dr. Daniel Daves, and he was teaching on some principles relative to the stock market and investments and things that are happening. It's just another way whereby we can see that we are poised on the threshold for a major economic collapse. We know that we're on the threshold of a major political collapse. We're experiencing this in the United States militarily. We are under the constant threat of terrorists creating or destroying the infrastructure of the United States. We're being threatened socially. We're being threatened financially. And we are really in for some interesting times. Let me give you a good clue here. Luke chapter 21, I think it's verse 25, says that when men's hearts begin failing them for fear, and you see the waves of the sea raging and all these other things, lift up your eyes and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. And I don't know where you're at in all this, and I don't really know it. You can decide, and you and everybody else could agree, and me too, and you could still be wrong. I don't know whether we are going to get raptured off the planet before the fireworks start, in the middle of the fireworks, or at the end of the fireworks. I do know that according to the Word of God, that we are destined to reign and rule with Jesus Christ if we do not deny Him. And this is the reason that I'm banging this drum. This is the reason I'm blowing this trumpet. Is I don't want people to be taken in by this strong delusion at the end of the age and buy into a one-world leader that seemingly has got all the right credentials, whereas it according to the bloodlines of transgenetic angelic mutation or how the rise to power comes. I just want to know, I want everybody to know this, that if the guy does not have pierced hands and can split mountains, he ain't the real deal. But we have seen, and you can follow, you can do your own research about these obelisks and tracing them, you know, as they were exported out of Egypt, as the idea was imported into Egypt. And, the understanding I gained from seeing the obelisk in Central Park, and that it was that the dedication to Horus and, the sun god Ra. The sun god Ra was nothing more than one of the angels that came down and got a gal pregnant, go figure, and then had a baby and had a bunch of them. And a lot of these mythological creatures are, in fact, the Nephilim that came down. And we're going to see their final judgment at the end of the age. But, you know, God is going to use the powers that be to prove you. And He's going to be... it's not that He sent these things in the world. No, we are the ones that have earned the right to elect who we elect or who we have because of our negligence, and we fall asleep at the helm when God, in reality and effectually, has put us in charge. But we haven't done a good job, and we've actually allowed Satan to occultically, covertly, and secretly take control of the world. And He's doing it. And if people don't want to recognize that this is happening and they want to live in their little ivy mantle tower and look at world through rose-colored glasses and conceptualize that everything's fine and that, you know, our economy's going to be okay and we're going to live happily ever after and, you know, and have a picket fence in the backyard and two dogs and a charcoal grill. Need to wake up and smell the coffee. We are living in violent, turbulent times. And the just shall live by faith. And the greatest weapon we have is faith. So, you know, hey, be not soon shaken in mind or troubled by spirit, that the day of the Lord is at hand. But I want to tell you that the day of the Lord is coming and is at hand, but there is going to come a huge delusion and a falling away before that happens, and that the man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. So, hey, man, what a great time to be alive, and what a wonderful time to be looking into some of the deeper things of the Word of God. And listen, if I said some things tonight that you don't agree with, that's all right. We can still sit around the same campfire and drink coffee and enjoy each other. I'm just endeavoring to dig up some of these truths to spice up the life of a dull, mundane Christian, but to give you something to look at, a little bit of something different than going to your religious clubs on Sunday mornings and sit and listen to the same regurgitated Bible that you hear week after week. I'm after the college-age demographic. I'm after the fresh thinkers. I'm after the individuals that want to press into and know the deeper things of God. I firmly believe if I can get some of the fine minds in the United States or in the college systems to rally around me, that we can recover the understanding about how to genuinely read the Word of God in the heavens for its prophetic significance. I'm seeing a great revelation that the Northern Circle is about ready to transition into the constellation of Cephas, and that is the coming king. But, you know, I'm after you college-age kids and you young thinkers, too, like Bob Boykin. I know you're tuned in with us again tonight, and Carrie and Jonathan Humphreys. And I love all you guys, and I love your aggressiveness and your proactiveness. And so, you know, if I said something that you didn't agree with, well, you know, God is bigger and love is bigger than doctrine. So I appreciate all that you guys do in pushing the fight where you're at, and I'm trying to push it here on my end, too. Let me summarize real quickly by saying, I was talking about Washington, D.C. and the New World Order. There's a prophecy of the seven kingdoms, and five that have fallen, one that is not, and then the one that's yet to come. We're seeing these things unfold actually before us, and my goodness, what an exciting time to be alive and see these things happen. Listen, don't get depressed. Don't let the negative words of the world come out of your mouth. Don't you confess lack. Don't you confess that you're depressed and that things are not going good for you. You have no idea what the rest of the people in the world live like. And if we have to starve from henceforth, we still have a ride, a good ride, and better than one that we deserve. Man, you know, God can make a water out of a rock and manna fall out of heaven. And that is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Yahweh is His name. And the annals of eternity testify of His goodness and His grace, and they also testify of His justice. If you're living right, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, don't you worry about a thing. If you die, you go straight into the millennial kingdom. You go straight to the head of the line. You pick up a bridle for your horse and a wine for the toast at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and you will live and reign with the Lord on the earth for 1,000 years. You know, that's the one thing about all the mythological lies. They are lies. They're extrapolations. They're extended facts, maybe based in some element of truth, but they're extended. The Hebrew storyline of the Bible is the most accurate and not embellished. It was guarded. The vowel points were counted. It's an accurate word. And we have the testimony in the Word of God that Yahweh, Father God, has sent His Son into the world. We see it through the announcement in the heavens. We see it in the understanding of the temple in Jerusalem, that Jesus Christ is HaMashiach, and He is the one that's going to come to set things right, and it's not going to be some new world order guy that is going to bring all the world together in peace and harmony and humanitarianism. This will just be the convergent lie of the Antichrist. So here's a culminating fact. The Antichrist will be the Queen of Heaven's mate. And he's going to be the one that is going to be the son of Lucifer, got a monument to Lucifer on the 77th degree west and 38.5 degree north on the continent of the United States. So lift up your eyes and lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. This is the exciting part of the storyline of all creation, and you have the privilege of living in it and seeing it unfold before your eyes. So one last thing. I'm going to Washington, D.C. On March 17th, and so that's one of the reasons I'm studying these things. But I'm going to Washington, D.C. on March 17th, and actually I'm going on the March 16th, and on March 16th I'm going to be ushered into the Capitol building to pray in the chapel of the Capitol building. And so I'm excited about that. Be praying for me that Almighty God will give me a diverse tongue. I'd love to speak in tongues and knock that statue off the top of that building. So, well, God's done greater things than that with, you know, but I don't know about doing it with weaker people than me. But nonetheless, I'm excited about the fight that's at hand. You know, be not weary in well-doing, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So don't faint in your mind and don't be discouraged. We are looking for the return of the King from heaven. And if we have to wade through hell, neck deep in blood, and dodging body parts, we will make that throne room. And we need to be locked into that realization that Jesus is HaMashiach and the devil is a loser and a filthy liar. I'm looking over this insignia again of the Baphomet and the compass and the square and the bunny head in Washington, D.C. Let me tell you, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of Yahweh that Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is in fact the ruler, savior of the world, the supreme potentate as destined and deemed by Yahweh, the creator of the entire universe, and you are holding a winning hand. Do not be deceived. Do not be deluded. Though the deception may be strong, like I said before, if he doesn't have pierced hands and can split mountains, don't buy into his ticket and don't go to his circus. So this has been fun with you tonight, and I know it's been a lot of information, but you can back it up and listen to the archives and try to slow me down a little bit and get some of the details in it. I'm really thankful to be able to join you tonight. It's not going to be too long from now that we're going to be doing this live on the on a webcast. So pray for me when I go to Washington, D.C. on the 16th and 17th this next week. Start the 10th through the 14th of March. I'm hosting Spring Break Week at Holy Land. What a joy to be able to take people to Holy Land rather than to go to the beach and get drunk and worship the devil. They can come to Holy Land and worship Yahweh. So if any of you college students out there listening that hasn't heard about this, please contact me right away. I got a place safe for you. Any of you others out there listening, liberating partners for our ministry or friends that's tuned in, you got any college students that want a real experience with God, we're going to have one here the 10th through the 14th of March. So enough for all my PR stuff. I hope I'm promoting Jesus, but if I'm not, let me be anathema. It's all about him, and he loves you. Thank you, Martin Irv, for helping make this available, for traveling all the way back to Butler, Tennessee, so that we could have this webcast tonight. God is not unrighteous to forget your work of labor of love that you've shown to his saints. So be blessed, Martin, and God bless all of you. Signing off here from Bedford, Virginia, and be talking to you next week. Next Tuesday night we'll be doing live from Holy Land, USA, where we'll have college students. So we'll be doing a roundtable next Thursday night with college students. So tune in, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Love y'all. Always have, always will. I mean it. And God is good. Amen. Love you. Good night.